No, not an oration. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I think that it is rather obvious that I am among that large group of people that does not have much influence with the weatherman. Either that, or the message got garbled and he thought I wanted a sunny day yesterday instead of today. At any rate, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you here to the dedication of the Presidential Poly House. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Howard West. I'm the Associate Dean of Resources and Planning here at Cal Poly and Educational Director of the Poly House. Until about a year ago, my activities and memories of this home were associated with meeting the former President McPhee here at 6 or 6:30 in the morning for a trip to Sacramento or to Los Angeles or to San Francisco, or to meet my wife and family here late in the evening on the return from such a trip, or like many of you in coming here for what were the annual fall President's receptions. But about a year ago, President Kennedy phoned me one morning and explained to me the concept and the philosophy of activities for which the almost completed facility here was to be used, and asked me if I would serve as the educational director. As he will explain to you later, it is the intent that this facility, this home, will have a broadly based interdisciplinary usage which will involve the total spectrum of the faculty and staff and their spouses. Toward this end, a Presidential Poly House Advisory Committee was developed and its members named to work with me in the development of guidelines for the use of the home and to assist in making the facility operational. This committee has devoted many hours in discussing, planning, struggling, and working in an effort to help the vision which President and Mrs. Kennedy have for this home, enriched as it is with the history of the early presidential families, become a reality. At this time, and before President Kennedy makes some special introductions and comments, I would like to introduce to you this committee. I believe that they're all here, and you will see them with a nameplate similar to the one I have, which says Advisory Committee. Representing the Cal Poly Women's Club, Mrs. Richard Johnson, Mrs. Carl Cummins, and Mrs. Wesley Connor. Representing the Cal Poly Staff Club, Mr. Charles Mendenhall, Mr. Robert Baldridge, and Mr. Jack Scott. Representing the Home Economics Department, Ms. Sarah Hardiman. Representing the Academic Senate, Mr. John Stewart. Representing the Staff Senate, Mr. Frank Blake, and representing President Kennedy on this committee, Mrs. Robert Kennedy. It is also appropriate that I indicate that Mrs. Connor, in addition to serving on the advisory committee, is serving as the volunteer coordinator for the Presidential Poly House. She has, and I'm sure will continue, to spend many hours on a voluntary basis helping you and helping us to schedule various activities and assisting the sponsors or program leaders in making the necessary arrangements. In working with the Cal Poly Women's Club, she has also arranged for a group of volunteer women to serve as hostesses for various activities and programs. We are deeply indebted to her and appreciate all that she has done. At this time, for some special introductions and some dedication comments, it's my privilege to present to you President Robert E. Kennedy.
Thank you very much, Howard. I, too, am sorry about the weather. We had fantastic weather here until a few days ago. I found out that the academic vice president, Dale Andrews, was praying for rain on behalf of the farmers. He only achieved half of it, so I presume that the rest of it will come tomorrow. But I'm glad that it is not raining and that we are able to stand out the doors here and see what has occurred here in a very short while, really. The special guest that I would like to introduce at this time are scattered around in the audience. And so I would ask that when I name them, would they kind of step forward, you know, like the military, you know, two steps forward or something so that people can see them. First, I'd like to introduce Chancellor and Mrs. Glenn Dunkey right there. And then I would like to introduce some people over here. If you'd come out, please, Mr. Brophy. Mr. and Mrs. Roy Brophy. Mr. Brophy is a newly appointed member of the Board of Trustees of the California University and Colleges of the State of California. And I think it's particularly interesting to me, anyway, that Mr. Brophy was the editor of the Cal Poly student newspaper. Is a former student of this institution, and was in fact my first student when I came here as a member of the journalism faculty and an advisor for that publication in 1940. And as he knows so well, that first year that I spent here as a faculty member was almost my last year. But it wasn't Roy's fault. It was just my inexperience, I can assure you. But we're very pleased that Mr. Roy Brophy is a member of the Board of Trustees, and we're particularly honored that he and Mrs. Brophy were able to take time out of a busy schedule to come here for the day's activities on this Founders Day. And we also are pleased that he is letting us give him an appropriate orientation and indoctrination into the intricacies of the system before the chancellor does. Got to make sure we get our points in there. And I'd also like at this time to introduce Mrs. Julian A. McPhee and her daughter Carol, Mrs. Norton. Mrs. McPhee. And another special guest is Mr. Armstead B. Carter and his lovely wife, Polly Carter. Would you both come? That's fine. There they are. Mr. Carter is from San Diego. He has made many contributions to Cal Poly. He was on the State Board of Education back in the days when Cal Poly was not a degree-granting institution, and he was instrumental in helping Julia McPhee, then president of this college, make Cal Poly into a degree-granting institution. It was a technical institute at that time, and it was Armstead B. Carter who made the motion that was passed that subsequently made Cal Poly a degree-granting college and a part of the state college system, and for that we're very grateful, but we're also grateful for many other favors that he has done on behalf of this institution. Well, as Howard said at the beginning, that Mrs. Kennedy and I, at the time I was appointed president of the institution in May of 1967, had an opportunity in a very few months after that. In fact, in June, when Dr. Dunkey was here for a commencement exercise we had. I believe that was when we had Bob Finch as the commencement speaker, and Glenn Dunkey came to introduce him because, as I recall, Glenn wasn't Bob Finch, one of your students at Occidental College. And in that luncheon before, I recall that Mrs. Kennedy and I both talked to Glenn about the hope that we had of making this house into an education, cultural, and social asset for the entire college community, and not use it as a home for the Kennedy family. Now, finding a way to finance a change in function for a facility and at the same time not destroy it as a home because of the significance that it has had in this campus as a center of activities and as a home was not easy. Bringing any dream into reality is oftentimes difficult. But a year later, the planning for this project had really begun in earnest. And it wasn't long after that that the actual remodeling and construction began to take place. Now today on this 1972 Founders Day, we dedicate the completion of the project. In 1967, I asked in a series of meetings that I had with all the faculty and the students and the people in the community, I asked a question, what can we build if we work together? The Presidential Poly House and the Poly Gardens, in fact, are tangible and symbolic representations of many things that have been achieved on this campus in the past 5 years by people working together. And even though I cannot possibly mention all who have contributed to this project, I do want to mention a few, and I do it, I know, at great risk, because there's always someone whose name I will not include. And so what I say to you is that I now mention some names strictly as representative of the hundreds of other people who I forget to name. Well, as I said, I must thank Chancellor Glenn Dumke, because he did in fact say yes, I could do it. If he'd have said no, we wouldn't be doing it. So that's significant. I also want to thank a man who's not here, but who is also a very important part of the Chancellor's office, and he is the chief legal counsel for the trustees, Norman Epstein, because without his help on a number of things, we might not also have been able to have done it. One of the most interesting was the first meetings that I had with a group of people with the local construction union, all of the unions, in order to convince them that what we were about to do was strictly an educational project, and that we did not, it was not necessary for them to have picket lines around the campus while we used non-union labor. And they did most graciously accept the concept and said it was indeed going to be an educational project. I want to thank hundreds of students, mostly students from the School of Architecture and Environmental Design, but from many other departments too, departments such as the Ornamental Horticulture Department and the Department of Environmental Engineering and Electrical Engineering. And as you can imagine, remodeling a house is not as easy, really, as, and I learned this from both the architects and from the construction people, as it is to tear it down and start over. There are many problems related to remodeling and maintaining an idea, a concept of a building that's more difficult than to do it from the beginning. But it was a very real learning experience, and certainly one that many students in schools of architecture will never get. Because this was not just drawing plans, this was drawing plans and then trying to make it work. And one of the things that the faculty members have told me about this project was that what you see here today is not necessarily the first attempt at doing it. That there were many errors, and they were corrected. It was a very real learning by doing experience. Now I need to express gratitude again to many faculty and staff members. These are the people who organized the project, who motivated the students. And you know, when I say motivate the students, I know that Roy Brophy remembers how we used to motivate students. And in fact, there used to be some students, not in the field that he was in, but in the animal science field, in animal husbandry. And Dean Gibson knows about how we motivate students sometimes to clean up a corral. You know, and that learning experience, for example, students frequently say you can do it once and you learn all there is to know about it. And so some of the work that was done on this project, I'm sure that some of the students who learned felt that, you know, after they had laid one of these little blocks of cement, that really that was all they needed to know about how to do it. But after all, they had to do the rest of it too. And so there was a lot of motivation that was required. The faculty also did a lot of critiquing of the plans. That's a nice way to say what I guess the people say when you just tell the people that it isn't any good and do it over again. And they did a lot of close supervision. Close supervision, I suppose, is on a construction project. I'm sure that there are people who are in the contracting business who understand what close supervision means, and it costs money, but if you don't have it, it costs more money. These same staff and faculty members insisted upon quality, and I think that's what we have. Now, some of the people And I don't know whether these people are here. I'm going to call their names, and I really would like to have them step out so that you can see them. They may be off teaching, and if they are, Dr. Dumpy, I want you to know that that's the way we do it here. We don't just shut it down. Well, first I'd like to have George Haslein, Dean of the School of Architecture and Environmental Design. Mr. Haslein, he deserves a great round of applause. John Stewart, these are people in the School of Architecture faculty. John Stewart, Bill McGonigal. Bill, is he here? Teaching, good. And Brent Dickens, Bill Phillips, Gordon Phillips, all of these people had a part in this operation at one time or other. And now we have other people on the staff who've been involved. Doug Gerard, Peter Phillips. Fred Blank, are you here? Fred is in charge of grounds maintenance on this campus. He does a beautiful job. And I can't pass up my old friend Armstead B. Carter, who provided the funds that enabled us to completely furnish Polly House. And I also want to mention Pat and John Hawks, who helped with the interior design, and Bernice Loughran and Erna Knapp and Bob Reynolds and other members of the art faculty who so generously assisted and put their works of art on display in the house. I want to thank Howard West. You've already met Howard, and all of the members of the Polly House Advisory Committee, and particularly Miss West Connor, who is our volunteer Polly House coordinator. And then may I say at the end, I would like to thank Mrs. Kennedy. She not only played many roles in this particular project, and it wasn't only as the representative of the president. Frequently, she represented herself. I should have you know that, because there were a few things about it all that I didn't even know that I had even thought of, let alone had expressed it. But at any rate, the one role that I think she liked the best was when she became the client for over 100 architectural students, all very creative and innovative guys and gals. And it took a tremendous amount of her time, and I'm just glad the state of California wasn't paying her by the hour. Now, that ends that part of it. Howard, do you want to unveil this little plaque? Okay. You can read the top of it from there, can't you? Can you? Oh, all right. This piece of artwork was done by Bob Reynolds and is to be mounted in the house, and is a permanent description of both the history and the purpose of this Polly House. I'd like to have Howard read, Howard, read all of it, would you?
Read all of them.
Okay.
History. This landmark campus building, built in 1928, was occupied until 1933 by President and Mrs. Ben H. Crandall, fifth chief executive of the institution. The next presidential family to occupy the house was that of President and Mrs. Julian A. McPhee. They reared six daughters in this house and lived here for more than 33 years. When Dr. Robert E. Kennedy was appointed president in 1967, he and Mrs. Kennedy expressed the hope that the house could become an educational, cultural, and social asset for the entire campus community. As a result, the facility was redesigned, reconstructed, enlarged, and re-landscaped by the cooperative efforts of faculty and students from a half dozen instructional departments and staff members from several service departments. Dedication.
Maybe I'll read that. I just discovered I better read it because I signed it, you know. People working together have given to Cal Poly this center in which faculty and staff may achieve better interdisciplinary understanding among themselves and can thereby transfer that increased appreciation of other fields and other people to their students. Poly House shall be a symbol both of unity and of hospitality. We dedicate this facility in the hope that in these rooms, harmony will grow out of diversity, and the shared purposes of the institution will be reaffirmed. Well, again, I want to thank everyone who participated, and I want to say that the house is open. And we have how long before we go to the convocation?
The convocation starts at 11.
11 o'clock.
All
right.
Okay. Thank you, President Kennedy. Before we conclude, I would like to remind you of two additional activities immediately following this ceremony, and that is at 11 o'clock this morning in the men's gymnasium. There will be a Founders Day convocation at which Chancellor Glenn S. Dumke will be the speaker. We hope that all of you will be able to attend this. In addition, in order that we might provide an opportunity for those of you who might desire to see the House either now or later on in the day, we will have it open from noon until 2 p.m. We hope that you will have an opportunity to stop by and think about how the facility might serve your needs in meeting the objectives as outlined by President Kennedy and as so beautifully expressed in this dedication plaque. Finally, as we close, let me leave you with this thought. Today, we have dedicated a facility rich with history and alive with a vision for the future. I believe that it is also appropriate that we rededicate ourselves to the philosophy that has nurtured that vision. We are one people with the single objective of providing a unique and living educational experience for the students at Cal Poly. Let us dedicate ourselves as we have dedicated this facility to that end. Thank you very much for coming.